Okay, so we're really happy to have Shota talk to us for our quantum fields and strings weekly seminar on reparameterization modes and chaos in the world sheet. So please start whenever you'd like to, Shota.
Okay, thank you, Sabrina, for the introduction, and thank you for the invitation to speak. So yes, today I'm going to talk about the recent work that I wrote with Simone Giombi, who is in Princeton, and also Ben Gutz-Opper-Taylor, who is a student of Simone, also in Princeton. So the talk is about some reparameterization modes and why it is important in like computing some observables in string theory. But let me first give you a very technical summary, intentionally technical summary, you know, mainly for those who know the subject and just to make sure what I'm going to make it clear what I'm going to do. So the subject that I'm going to discuss today is basically half BPS Wilson loop in n equals 4 supermills. And that half BPS Wilson loop in n equals 4 supermills has a dual description, holographic description, in terms of string, which is stretching inside, stretching along the ADS2 subspace inside ADS5 times S5 spacetime. And graphically, it looks like this. So if I draw the global ADS picture, then as a cylinder, and then ADS2 string sits basically here, and this is the boundary, which is circle. And in particular, I'm going to study the correlation functions on the string, which corresponds to some insertion of like operators on the Wilson loop, and then computed in particular in the conformal gauge of the string theory. And I'm going to explain to you that in the conformal gauge, the reparameterization mode, which are localized at the boundary of the string, worksheet play an important role. And also, these reparameterization modes allow us to compute exact out-of-time-ordered correlation function in a certain double scaling limit. And furthermore, the result exhibits maximal chaos. However, it is important the mechanism that exhibits maximal chaos is different from SYK model or like a JT gravity, because the action for the reparameterization modes is not the same as the Schwarzschild action. So this is the technical summary for those who know the subject, but of course I'm going to explain what I mean by all these in the rest of the talk. But after hearing this technical summary, you might wonder why should we care about this subject? And now I'm going to try to convince you that this subject, especially understanding of the reparameterization mode on the string worksheet, is an important subject. So the answer to this question, why should we care about it, is that the reparameterization modes are important also in other problems. And as I already mentioned, that also shows up in the duality between JT gravity and the low energy limit of the SYK model. However, today I want to emphasize that it also shows up in various different contexts, which involve the computation of involving the string worksheet with boundaries. And probably half BPS Wilson loop that I'm going to discuss today is perhaps the simplest of such setups. Okay, so this is a plan of the talk. So I'm first start with why I care about the reparameterization modes. And then I'm going to discuss a technical part, which is how to compute a correlation function on the ADS2 string using the reparameterization modes. And then I'm going to compare the results with the Schwarzschild. And after that, I'm going to discuss chaos and a certain double scaling limit, and then end with the conclusion and future direction. So let me start with the first bullet item, why I care about the reparameterization modes. So the first reason, as I already mentioned, it played an important role in the recent developments between SYK model and the JT gravity. So JT gravity is a certain simple 2D gravity action with dilaton. And in particular, let's consider the JT gravity plus matter fields, which is non-interacting. So the action for the JT gravity takes this form. So this is the dilaton, and this is the Ricci scalar. And so it consists of like a bulk term, and in addition, the boundary term, where K is the x string is a curvature. So if you integrate out phi, or like if you consider the equation motion of phi, you can immediately see that the equation motion sets r equals minus 2. So this means that the solution looks locally like ADS2 geometry. However, if you just take ADS2 and evaluate this action, the action basically diverges because of the boundary of ADS2. So that's why I introduced this boundary action. So in order to have a kind of finite result, we need to cut off the ADS2 boundary, taking into account a boundary action, and impose some certain boundary condition at the boundary. The boundary condition imposed in the literature is the following. So you impose that the boundary length, computed using this metric, is 2 pi over epsilon, where epsilon is a cutoff parameter. And also at the boundary, you impose that the dilaton takes constant large value. Here again, epsilon is the same cutoff parameter. And if you consider the solution under this boundary condition, then you basically, it basically amounts to cutting off the full ADS space. And the geometry basically sits inside this curve. So in other words, this ADS2 is a kind of, plays the role of some kind of like a phase space of the gravity. And considering different curve in the region corresponds to different like a phase space in the gravity. And as you can see in this picture, there are two natural coordinates to define in this phase space. One is the tau coordinate, which is a kind of angle in the ADS2 coordinate. And the other is basically theta, which parameterizes the boundary. So this is the boundary coordinate. So this boundary coordinate is, of course, like changes if you perform the diffeomorphism. But let's fix the boundary coordinate by imposing that h theta theta is 1 over epsilon squared. And this means that, this is related to the condition on the boundary length. So because we want to impose that the boundary length goes like a 2 pi over epsilon, under this condition, theta runs from 0 to 2 pi. Okay. And once you impose this condition, you can parameterize the shape of this curve just using a single variable, which is tau of theta. So originally, as you can see, that ADS2 is a two-dimensional surface. So you might think that you need two-dimensional parameter. But once you fix this coordinate, once you fix this boundary coordinate using this condition, then essentially like the curve is basically determined by a function of theta, of the function tau as a function of theta. Okay. So now, imposing this boundary condition, and you can actually evaluate the JT gravity action. And it turns out, if you evaluate the JT gravity action, the on-shell action is zero. Well, that's kind of obvious because if you integrate at phi, then r becomes minus 2. And if you evaluate the action on-shell, it just gives you zero. So the only contribution comes from the boundary term, and that gives you this action, which is the famous Schwarzian action. So this so-called Schwarzian derivative, which you also encounter in the two-dimensional CFD if you consider transformation property of the stress tensor. And using this Schwarzian action, you can compute a matter two-point function using this expression. So essentially what you need to do is to first compute some kind of like a correlation function of operators with dimension delta, and then dress it with the reparametrization mode, and then integrate over the reparametrization mode tau. And the important thing is that this action originally, originally derived from JT gravity, but you can also show that it arises in the low temperature limit of the SYK model. And that played an important role in the duality between SYK model and the JT gravity. Okay, So let's discuss another reason why I care about the reparametrization mode. Now it's more about the string worksheet. So let's consider a slightly different problem, which is the string ending on a fixed curve in space-time. So this was originally discussed briefly by Nelson and Pochinski. And so in order to consider this kind of object, you first need to impose the boundary condition on the string worksheet so that it ends on a fixed curve in spacetime. So one way to impose the boundary condition is to require that x mu of tau zero, which is the boundary value of the string field on the worksheet, is equal to x mu of tau, which is some parameterization of the curve C. But importantly here, nobody tells you how to parameterize the curve C. So you can basically choose some random parameterization of the curve C and impose the boundary condition. However, this is slightly problematic because of the following reason. So in the conformal gauge, as we know from the worksheet CFT, we need to require that the boundary condition needs to satisfy the conformal boundary condition, which in terms of the stress tensor amounts to requiring that T minus T bar is zero at the boundary. This is basically equivalent to saying that the boundary condition that you impose needs to be invariant under the reparameterization of the boundary, because this T minus T bar essentially acts as a symmetry generator of the reparameterization at the boundary. So if it's zero, it must be invariant. However, this condition that the boundary condition is the reparameterization invariant is indeed true for usual deep brain boundary condition, in which, for example, you set x mu tau zero to be zero. However, this is not the case for the boundary condition that I described here, because if you start from this boundary condition and then perform the reparameterization of the worksheet, then on the worksheet side, you get this. But here, this is some random parameterization you fix by hand for the fixed curve in the spacetime. So after the reparameterization condition, this and this are not equal. Okay. And the only way to make it invariant is basically to integrate over this reparameterization f of tau. And this idea was discussed several years ago by Makienko and Olesen in the context of a confining string. And they show that under certain assumptions, and they can reproduce what's called the Lucia term, which is the next leading correction to the quark-antiquark potential in the effective string formalism. Normally, Lucia term is derived in the static gauge, in which you basically kill the all conformal, all the diffeomorphism invariants. But they show that if you can also do the computation in the conformal gauge, but in that case, you need to integrate over the reparameterization mode. Okay, so this is another reason. And let me also talk about the third reason. So the third reason why the reparameterization is important is that it also shows up naturally if you want to study something like a string with massive endpoints. So in the critical string theory, we don't quite know the example in which a string with massive endpoints makes sense as a full-fledged object in string theory. However, basically by string with massive endpoints, I mean some open string, but the endpoint moves like a particle with mass n. So this is different from the D-brain because in the case of D-brain, endpoints basically moves at the speed of light. And essentially, if you want to compute this kind of situation with this kind of object, we need to basically consider this action, which is made out of the particle action, so written in terms of Einbein, plus usual bulk Polchinski action. Sorry, Polyakov action. I should have said Polyakov action. So, and of course, this Einbein is related to the worksheet metric in this way. And as you can see from this, the boundary action now depends explicitly on the Einbein epsilon of tau, so E of tau. So we in order to do the quantization of this string with massive endpoints, one expects that we need to integrate over E of tau. And this integration over E of tau is essentially the same as the integration of the reparameterization, because essentially Einbein is a convenient way of parameterize the reparameterization degrees of freedom. And so this question is certainly relevant for example, computing the meson spectrum in the effective confining string, or things like 2D QCD, like in the famous what's called the Pfuft model, which is 2D MMLs coupled to fundamental quarks. And the fourth reason, which is the main subject that I'm going to discuss in this talk, is the half BPS Wilson loop. So as I mentioned already, half BPS Wilson loop in N equals 4 zip MMLs is dual to string in ADS2 subspace inside ADS5 times S5. And basically the string worksheet looks like this. So this is the boundary Wilson loop, and the string is anchored on the boundary Wilson loop, and it looks like this hemisphere. And people computed this using supersymmetric localization, and we know that this expectation value of the Wilson loop, which basically corresponds to computing the disk partition function of the string theory, is given by this expression in the strong coupling limit. So this comes from the classical area, regularized classical area, and this is supposed to come from the quantum corrections. And the boundary condition one needs to impose here is very similar to the case that I discussed here for the case of fixed curve in spacetime in flat space. So basically we need to impose that at the boundary Z, the radial coordinate is zero, and the X coordinate, for example, which is this direction, should go like cosine of tau. So this is the fixed spacetime contour problem. So therefore, we expect the reparametrization modes are important when you try to compute the various quantities here in the conformal gauge. So however, okay, are there any questions so far? Okay, so however, but one thing I want to discuss today is that there is actually a very explicit way to see that the reparametrization modes are necessary in the conformal gauge, and that is to look at the correlation function on the ADS string, ADS2 string. So that's the second subject, second topic bullet point that I'm going to discuss. So let's briefly just review the basics of a correlation function on the ADS2 string, which is dual to the half BPS Wilson loop in N equals 4 zip MMLs. So ADS2 string inside ADS5 times S5 in static gauge was studied by various people. And if you consider that string, then on the string worksheet, one finds the three massive scalar, which basically corresponds to fluctuation in the ADS5 direction, and five massless scalars, which corresponds to fluctuation in the S5 direction. So normally we denote D scalar X and D scalar as Y. And in addition, there are eight fermions. And in addition, one important property of this ADS2 string is because it sits in ADS2 subspace, it preserves SL2R symmetry, which is isometry of the ADS2. And this is a reflection of the fact that the dual of this ADS2 string is the Wilson loop, and Wilson loop, half BPS Wilson loop, and half BPS Wilson loop is actually one-dimensional conformal field theory, which also preserves the same SL2R symmetry. And the correlation functions on the ADS2 string, for example, insertion of Y at the boundary of the disk corresponds to insertion of some operator on the Wilson loop. So this is the string side and this is the field theory side. So this is a basic setup that I'm going to discuss today. And in order to see the necessity of the reparametrization, one can actually see it explicitly in a very simple toy model, which is ADS2 times S1. So instead of considering ADS5 times S5, where ADS2 inside ADS5 times S5, let's consider ADS2 string worksheet inside ADS2 times S1. So in the static gauge, at the leading order, the action should be given by the number Goto action, which takes this form. So determinant of one, so identity matrix plus partial y and partial y. And because we have only a single scalar field, it's very easy to expand. And you see that the leading order gives you the kinetic term. And at the next leading order, you have like a full derivative coupling. And in the conformal gauge, on the other hand, let's consider the same object in the conformal gauge. And in the conformal gauge, this S of y is just given by a usual Poliakoff action for the S1 boson, so basically free boson. So the action is just given by the quadratic action. And as you can see, there is no interaction. So if you take what I said very seriously, then it seems like if you try to compute a connected four-point function of of the y excitations on the boundary of the disk, then it should give non-zero in the static gauge, whereas it seems to give zero in the conformal gauge. So this is obviously incorrect because the results should not depend on the gauge choices you take. And the resolution is simple to state. So the resolution is that actually there is a reparametrization mode in the conformal gauge that we forgot in this computation. And if you include it, we can actually get the same result as in the static gauge. Okay, so now let's discuss the detail.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
Sorry, when you say conformal gauge, did you fix also the residual diff plus and diff minus that you have in the old worksheet?
So normally, the residual what?
Mm-hmm. So normally when you have the worksheet metric mm-hmm. and you impose it to be EH equal to eta, mm-hmm. then you also have a residual remaining invariance. That is from the diffeomorphism. Right. You can still have a reparametrization residual diffeomorphism plus diffeomorphism minus of your combination of tau and sigma.
Right, right. But those, for example, I think if I understand correctly what you're saying, I think like those residual group is completely fixed if you consider four three-point function.
Right. So
in the normal.
Right.
Yeah, but here, like I'm computing four-point function, which is more than three-point function. So those residual symmetry should not be there, but still the result is not matching.
Okay.
So there is another like a more non-trivial reparametrization mode.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, so let's discuss how to derive the reparametrization action. So the basic strategy is very simple. You specify the parameterization of the curve first. For example, I put z of 0 tau to 0 and x of 0 tau to alpha tau and y of 0 tau to some vary that I want, but depends on alpha tau. So this alpha is essentially the reparametrization. So let me just remind you that z is a radial coordinate and x is basically the direction in which string is stretching and y is the coordinate on S1. So here, if you just want to consider ADS2 string, I should set this to be zero, but in the end, I want to insert some excitation of y. So that's why I'm considering slightly non-trivial configuration of y, which is given by y twiddle. And then the next thing one needs to do is to compute the on-shell Poliakoff action under this boundary condition. And so the final result after computing the on-shell Poliakoff action is going to be some functional of alpha tau, because depending on the choice of parameterization, we get a different on-shell action. So this is related to the previous point that I made in the context of a flat space string, which is ending on a fixed curve in a spacetime. So there I chose some parameterization by hand and then said that it is not really invariant and that the reparameterizations. So that's why I needed to integrate over the reparameterization. Here, what I'm going to do is also the same. So I first pick some random parameterization of the target space curve, and then compute the on-shell action And then afterwards, I need to integrate over the parameterization because this is some arbitrary choice I made, which breaks the reparameterization invariance or the conformal boundary condition. So I need to integrate it over it. And if you want to compute certain observable, you basically just insert that observable here and do the path integral over alpha. And so let me just make several comments before proceeding. So when you discuss the dual of the circular BPS Wilson loop, people are very familiar with the classical result, which gives you the regularized area square root of lambda. So that classical result is essentially given by the minimization of this on-shell action over alpha, because in the classical limit where the strain tension becomes infinity, this path integral is dominated by the saddle point. And if you solve this minimization problem explicitly, you see that alpha t equals t is the minimal solution. And that's why when people talk about a string dual to the circular BPS Wilson loop, people often just forget about this integration over alpha tau and sets immediately alpha zero t is t. However, that is only correct. The point I'm making is that is only correct in the classical limit. And if you start computing the quantum corrections, you also need to include the correction coming from the change in the boundary condition. And in the paper, we determine this on-shell action up to quadratic order around alpha t equal t. And that is sufficient if you just want to analyze the like a first fluctuation around the classical solution. But of course, like if you want to compute some full quantum result, you need to really have a full result, which depends on alpha tau nonlinearly. And in addition, of course, if you start talking about the full quantum result, you also need to consider the effect of Gauss and other modes. And those, the effect of those modes also like should interact with this integration of alpha tau or alpha t. But in this talk, I only focus on the quadratic fluctuation around alpha t for t. So I'm not going to talk about the contribution from Gauss. Okay, so now let's discuss more in detail how to derive the reparameterization action in this worksheet string. So for the Y part, it's rather simple. Remember, I'm still talking about the toy model ADS 2 times S1. Well, I can also do it for ADS 5 times S5, but for the simplicity in this talk, I'm going to focus on the derivation for the ADS 2 times S1. So for the Y part, it's rather simple because in the Polyakov gauge, the equation motion or the conformal gauge, the equation motion of Y is very simple. So you basically just need to require that boundary value of the Y is given by this Y twiddle of alpha T and ask what is the on-shell action. And this is essentially just a question of complex analysis because the question is like, what is the harmonic function whose boundary values is specified by this function. And using the standard complex analysis tool, you can actually determine the form of the Y and evaluate the on-shell action. And on-shell action, the final result takes this form. So it's given by a two-dimensional, double integral over the boundary and alpha enters in the final action in this way. And on the other hand, the computation of the X and Z parts are rather complicated because as you can see that even in the conformal gauge, the action for the X and Z is nonlinear. So remember X and Z describe the ADS2 part. So the strategy we took is to work perturbatively. So because we are only interested in the expansion around alpha t equal t, so we expanded alpha t in this way and also xt in this way and zt in this way. And then we imposed the equation of motion to write this z and zeta as a functional of epsilon. And once you get it, we plug them in the action. So the philosophy, like a basic strategy, is simple, but of course the actual analysis is complicated. So I'm not going to show you the details of the computation in this talk. But the final form of the action is given by this expression. So which is on-shell action of X and Z is given by this expression, where epsilon is the essentially, so the epsilon is what I just said, like a alpha T is a T plus epsilon T. So it's a small deformation around the semi-classical configuration. And the final result, as I said, is given by this expression. And however, because we know that alpha T at this order can be approximated by T plus epsilon T, I can replace this expression with this expression up to this order. Okay, so this gives you some kind of like a better expression. And furthermore, we can also rewrite it at this quadratic order as an integral of alpha rather than integral of T. So let me explain what I physically what this corresponds to. So originally, this T, as you would probably remember, is a variable on the worksheet. So this action was written in terms of the variable of the worksheet T. So it's a worksheet coordinate. But at this order, because at the leading order, the target space coordinate alpha T, so this is because like alpha T is directly identified with the target space coordinate at the boundary. So because at this order, target space coordinate and the worksheet coordinate are almost like equivalent up to this small deformation. So up to this order, I can also think that T of alpha is alpha plus epsilon of alpha. And using this identification, we can also rewrite this as the integration of the boundary points. So this is more like this is technically more convenient if you want to, for example, consider the fluctuation at fixed points on the one of the boundary. That's what we want to do if you want to compute the correlation function on the Wilson loop, because we want to insert certain operator at fixed points on the boundary rather than at fixed points on the worksheet. Okay. And so this is the form of the action written in terms of alpha variable. And one can also do the same for the on-shell action of Y that I derived earlier, which is this one. And in the alpha variable, the change is very simple. I just need to consider the Jacobian, and the Jacobian is given by this. And so this is basically the new form of the action. Okay. So now let's talk about the correlation functions. So essentially, if we want to compute a correlation function, we basically need to combine this action and this action, and then differentiate with respect to y twiddle, because at certain point at the boundary. And so that brings down certain terms from the action, from the exponent, and inserts some operators inside the regularization integral. And the operator that we get at this order of approximation takes this form. So this is some certain bilinear action. It is bilinear because the action itself was bilinear. So if you take a differentiation twice, you bring down this factor. So this is essentially a translation of the previous factor up to this linear order around alpha t equal t. And this small comment is that here I'm slightly switching the notation because the previous analysis was done for the straight line Wilson loop, but now we are considering the circular Wilson loop, which is also related to the straight line Wilson loop by the conformal transformation of the target space. And using this B of theta one and theta two, I can compute a correlation function, Y theta one, Y theta two, Y theta three, Y theta four, in this way. So because it's a Gaussian integration, it's and the computation is rather simple. And at this order, at the leading order, the connected four-point function is given by product of three terms, b theta 1, theta 2, b theta 3, theta 4, b theta 1, theta 3, b theta 2, b theta 4, and the final term. And each term roughly corresponds to this kind of diagram. So you have some matter two-point function, and they exchange the reparametrization mode. And you basically just need to sum all three terms. And so this computation can be done explicitly using the previous action and this expression at the like a leading quadratic order in epsilon. And the final result is rather interesting and surprising. So you find that if you sum these three, you basically reproduce the result in the static case, which basically comes from the contact interaction with four derivatives. So as you can see, although the result turned out to be the same, the details of the computation are quite different, because in the case of conformal gauge, you basically compute something like exchange diagrams, whereas in the case of static gauge, you just compute a contact diagram with quartic interaction with four derivatives. And however, the final result turned out to be the same. So any questions so far?
So can I ask a few questions? Yes. So before moving on, I wonder what's the crucial difference in this case to give you this non-local reparametrization action compared to Schwarzian?
Mm-hmm. So
what was the yeah?
Right. So this is, as you can see, this is a non-local action, whereas in the case of Schwarzian, it's a local action. So that's a kind of obvious difference.
So where this non-locality comes from? This is just...
So in this case, non-locality comes from the fact that you are... Okay, so in this case, non-locality arises because you have two-dimensional object and inside two-dimensional, in the bulk, the dynamics of matter is non-trivial, and you impose boundary condition and then solve the bulk matter and then write it as a boundary integral. And the basic reason why it's non-trivial is because the bulk is non-topological. So if the bulk is topological, I think it's natural to expect that the final result is still local on the boundary. But if the bulk is dynamical, I think it's natural to expect it is going to be local, non-local action.
Oh, I see. This comes from some kind of this log determinant thing when you integrate this matter as one.
Well, actually, here, I'm not even doing the log determinant because I'm really just specifying the boundary condition and then solving the equation motion. So this is really like a first leading approximation.
But in your case, this S1 is important to get to local.
I agree. I think you can also think of it as, essentially it comes from the propagator in the bulk, which connects the two points. I guess that's...
And also, in the case of Schwarzian, so I guess your reparametrization here is also diff S1.
Mm-hmm.
And also it seems like SL2R, there is a global SL2R unbroken symmetry. So can't you just write down your action based on some EFT argument? Just in the case of Schwarzian, that was the unique, minimal action from So is your action also a consequence of such kind of argument?
That I don't know, especially in particular because it is non-local. So the usual EFT logic is not easily applicable. So
I see.
But there is also another very important difference. Yeah, thanks for asking the question, and which I'm going to get to soon.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, so but before going to that point, let me just show that this match is rather non-trivial. Because the final result I didn't. Sorry. Yes. Please.
Sorry. So, in the case of just the happy PS circular Wilson loop, what What corrections do you compute by integrating over these modes?
So it's one over square root of lambda, a leading one over square root of lambda corrections.
So, I mean, the leading result has an overall lambda prime, I mean, one over root lambda to some power, and then you're saying that you're computing the one over lambda correction to that.
Well, okay, so let me just make sure. We didn't compute the partition function itself. We only computed the correlation functions. So what we computed is the correlate the one over square root of lambda correction to the four-point function. And at the leading order, it's just given by a generalized free field. It's just a contraction of this and this and this.
Yeah, but
and then,
why not just for the partition function?
So for the partition function, we need to know the various factors, especially the measure, the overall factor for the measure of the reparametrization mode. And so that we don't quite know. So that's why we didn't or couldn't compute the partition function.
But that's more a statement about the overall factor of lambda, not so much the lambda correction, one over root lambda correction.
Ah, okay. Right, so you are, I see. So you are asking about the next correction.
Yes. I thought, I mean, there's a contribution that will come that will kind of give a normalization to the partition function. But I thought that the reparametrization modes will give you one over root lambda corrections to kind of the naive result where you didn't care about the reparametrization mode.
I see. Okay, so it's a correction further suppressed by one over square root of lambda.
That was my understanding, but that's what I'm asking.
I don't quite know. That's the answer. Yeah, that might be the case.
If you say it's a correction of something, I mean, it has to be the subleading term, not the leading term.
I see. So you are saying that it doesn't contribute to this like lambda minus 3/4?
Well, I think that was more or less understood where it came from, and it didn't come from the partition mode.
Right. So then there is overall like a square root of 2 over pi, and you are saying that the reparametrization mode contribution is further suppressed, probably.
That's what I would expect, but it's more of a question. I mean, if you expand in large lambda, you get 1 plus something times 1 over root lambda. I thought you were talking about that guy.
I see. Yeah, that's possible. Yes, that's possible. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. Because this action I didn't explicitly write, but here it comes with the square root of lambda. So it's probably give you some power law suppressed correction in lambda.
Right.
Okay, so all right. So there I didn't write here I didn't write explicit expression, but I just wanted to emphasize that this is a rather non-trivial match because the correlation function is a rather complicated combination of locks of the cross ratio. Okay, so now let me turn to the comparison with the Schwarzschild. And so this is the Schwarzschild action that I wrote previously, well, in a slightly different form. And at this quadratic order, action can be expanded in this way. As I said, like the action is local. And on the other hand, ADS2 string, the action for the circular one takes this form. So as you can see that clearly it's non-local. And there are two symmetries that's important. Those are important for both for Schwarzschild and ADS string. The first one is the left SL2R, which maps tau of sigma to f of tau of theta, and where f is the SL2R element of the SL2R. In the Schwarzschild case, this essentially just like amounts to performing like a SL2R transformation to this phase space. And in the context of Schwachan, this is, or like a JT gravity, this corresponds to gauge SL2R invariance. So this is, the action is invariant, but you need to, you shouldn't consider it as a physical symmetry. You just need to mod out with this symmetry. And on the other hand, ADS on the side of ADS2 string, this transformation is nothing but the worksheet SL2R because tau is the worksheet variable and you are directly doing the SL2R transformation to the worksheet. And again, this is also a gauge transformation. So we basically need to mod out when you compute something. So to summarize, like the left SL2R corresponds to gauge degrees of freedom on both sides. On the other hand, right SL2R, which maps tau theta to tau of f of theta, are different between two theories. So in the case of Schwarzschild, this corresponds to physical SL2R because theta, in the case of SYK JT gravity relation, theta is roughly speaking the coordinate of the SYK. So this really corresponds to performing the conformal symmetry on the boundary SYK theory. And this SL2R is, well, as is well known, broken because the SYK model is not really conformal. It's only nearly conformal. On the other hand, in this ADS string, this transformation corresponds to target space SL2R because this theta is a target space coordinate. And because the ADS2 string stretches all the way to the boundary, the action is actually invariant under the target space SL2R. So I guess coming back to Changa's question, there might be a possibility that even for the non-local action, if you impose the target space SL2R in addition to the usual gauge or SL2R, there may be a possibility to kind of fix the structure of the action, but we don't quite know the answer to that question at the moment. And so here I emphasize that things are rather different, especially the symmetry properties are different. However, certain quantities like Lyapunov exponent or a double scale out of time ordered correlation function turned out to coincide. And this also gives you some, because the action is different from Schwarzschild, so this gives you an example of non-Schwarzschild maximal chaos theory. So let me discuss that point. So first, let's discuss the, let's review the basics of out-of-time ordered correlators. So out-of-time ordered thermal four-point function is known to be a good diagnosis of chaos. So in particular, in a chaotic theory, we expect that this out-of-time ordered correlation function exhibits like this exponential growth at late time, and where G Newton is in the large N theory, this G Newton is a rather small number, like one over N squared. And the reason why this is related to chaos is because like this out of time ordered correlation function can be thought of as a one term in the expansion of commutator square. And this commutator square basically measures how the small perturbation evolves at late time. And the important point is that both, and an important point is that this lambda needs to satisfy the universal bound or the chaos bound, which is 2 pi over beta. And the Schwarzschild mode and SYK, Schwarzschild theory and SYK, and also Einstein gravity are known to saturate this bound. So the maximal chaos is like a, indicates like the theory is rather gravitational. Although like it's not really true because this YK model has like a bunch of like other light modes, but still saturates the chaos bound. So in the context of Wilson loop, one can get the out of time ordered correlation function by performing certain analytic continuation. So more precisely, you start from the circular Wilson loop and basically you analytically continue this Wilson like a circular time to Lorentzian, so which basically amounts to considering this kind of hyperbolic loop instead of circular loop. And so this allows us to introduce the time in the Wilson loop defect correlator. And in the cross-racial space, this analytic continuation corresponds to taking cross-racial to be this value and then send t to infinity, and t to be much larger than one. And if you take the four-point function computed in the case of ADS5 and S5 and take this limit, then indeed this Wilson loop correlation function exhibits the exponential behavior, which amounts to maximal chaos with beta equal to pi. So the beta is 2 pi here because we are normalizing that, we are normalizing so that the circle length is 2 pi. Okay. And so this is one like a result that that can be computed from the 4-point function, but this was already computed before in the static gauge. And now I'm going to discuss a double scaling limit. So which was not done in the static gauge. So in the Schwarzschild theory, there exists a so-called double scaling limit in which only the quadratic Lagrangian of the reparametrization mode contributes. Physically, that limit corresponds to, or the computation corresponds to some kind of Eichner resummation at high energy of the graviton of the gravitational scattering. So you basically just like a resum, like a exchange of reparametrization without touching these external lines. And so we assumed that this is also true in the ADS2 string. However, showing this rigorously is a little bit difficult because we don't quite know the nonlinear action for the reparametrization mode in the case of ADS2 string. So we cannot really argue that this limit is dominated by the quadratic part. But using the analogy with Schwarzschild, we assume that this is the case and then try to compute a correlation function. And in terms of n equals 4 supermeos variable, like two-foot coupling or the t, which shows up in this cross ratio, this corresponds to a certain scaling limit in which you send lambda to infinity and t infinity, but keeping this ratio fixed. And so this double scaling limit can be computed using, if you assume that only quadratic Lagrangian contributes. So let me just give you a very rough sketch of the computation. So again, what we need to compute is the correlator of these like bilocal modes. Here, I'm considering a slightly general case where the matter field has dimension delta rather than one. So in that case, we basically need to compute a correlation function of product or like a powers of these operators. And however, it is slightly non-trivial to perform the Gaussian integration of this bilocal operator because this epsilon shows up in a nonlinear way in the bilocal operator. And technically, we can achieve the integration by writing this in this way and writing this in this way. After doing so, everything's like all the dependence on epsilon is linear and sits in the exponent, so we can easily perform the Gaussian integration. And the final result that we get is this form. And there is some oval factor, and the main result is given in terms of confluent hypergeometric function. And this is kappa inverse. And just to remind you, the kappa is given by this combination. And interestingly, although the original action was different, the final result for this double scaling limit coincides with the result from Schwarzschild. And we don't have a clear understanding why this is the case, but it seems like this limit is insensitive to the difference between the Schwarzschild action and our action. And furthermore, we also checked that taking this expression and then expand in powers of one over square root of lambda, then we get some prediction for a higher loop correction to the 4-point function in certain kinematics. And we check that result against the recent three-loop bootstrap result done by Ferrero and Meneghelli. And And remarkably, the result matched exactly. So that's one evidence that this computation is probably correct. And let me just emphasize that this result they got is actually, the full result is actually non-trivial, which involves like a triple, Li3, like a generalization of the logarithm function. So it's a true logarithm function. But in the limit, if you take the limit in this double scaling limit and go to the kinematics, this kinematics, then the result simplifies and agrees with the expansion of this function. Okay, so let me now go to the conclusion and discuss a bit of future directions. So the summary of the talk is that I emphasize the importance of the reparameterization modes, and the basic take-home message is that the conformal gauge plus reparameterization mode gives you the result in the static gauge. And the final result is interesting from the point of view of chaos, because the final result exhibits maximum chaos without Schwarzschild. And furthermore, using the reparameterization action up to quadratic order and using a clever integration trick, we can derive the double scaled out of time ordered correlation functions using the reparameterization action. And let me briefly mention several future directions. And so one interesting thing which already Jome pointed out is to understand the role of reparameterization mode for W. So here I only wrote the leading and then next leading term. But yeah, as Jome was pointing out, it's probably the case that reparameterization action enters at the next order rather than at this order. But still, we expect that the reparameterization plays some role in the full quantum computation of the Bose-Lhoff expectation value. So another easy, but probably interesting question is to understand something like flat space analog, or more precisely, what happens if you consider some string ending on a fixed contour and then compute a correlation function on top of it. One possibility, one reason why this might be interesting is that using that kind of formalism, we might be able to extract some flux to best matrix using a conformal gauge. And of course, if you want to discuss the flux to best matrix, it makes more sense to talk about effective confining string rather than critical string. But also the conformal gauge simplifies certain analysis in the effective effective confining string, especially the, how to organize the various higher derivative terms that sometimes simplifies in the conformal gauge. So it would be interesting if one can use this idea of reparameterization to start from the conformal gauge effective string Lagrangian and get some S matrix. And another point to mention is that in the case of usual Polyakov action in flat space, the reparameterization action, the full reparameterization action is actually known, and it's known as the Douglas function. And it's given by this expression. So this alpha t is a reparameterization mode, and x is the target space coordinate. And so another question is that so far in the analysis, we only needed the quadratic fluctuation around this classical configuration, but it'll be nice to derive the full reparameterization action using some techniques like integrability. And similar analysis in the case of ADS, a little bit related analysis in the case of string inside ADS3 was done by Martin Krajewski. And also there are certain like a Schwarzschild mode of reparameterization plays some important role. So it might be interesting to apply the techniques developed there and try to compute a full reparameterization action. And finally, one interesting but difficult question is to understand how the reparameterization modes arise from the weak coupling, namely n equals 4 super mills with the Wilson loop. So this was done in the case of SYK model because SYK model was solvable by the usual large N analysis. However, in this case, going to the strong coupling seems difficult, but maybe using some integrability techniques, one may be able to derive the or understand how the regular metrization modes arise from the whistle loop. But this is probably a difficult question, but I think it's one important question. Okay, so let me end here.
Thank you. Let's thank our speaker. And were there any further questions?
So one more question is, when you insert this VW mm-hmm. in the Wilson line, was this operator VPS or just any random local operator on the line?
Okay, so right. So in the case of Wilson loop, we can only insert VPS operators because most of the operators that we insert, non-VPS operator, become infinitely heavy in the strong coupling limit, in which like a classical string description is valid.
Okay, I think this is just a random, very naive question, but mm-hmm. Just like the Wilson loop expectation value in the field theory, is there any like technology for doing SUSY localization to compute this correlator?
Okay, so there is a nice class of correlation functions on the Wilson loop, which basically defines some topological subsector of this correlation function on the Wilson loop. And we actually computed together with Simone using supersymmetric localization. And the result is nice because it is a non-trivial function of lambda, as in the case of partition function, Wilson loop expectation value.
But that was not a four-point function, the one you computed.
You can also consider a four-point function, but a four-point function, it is a very special four-point function, which does not depend on the position of the four points.
Oh, I see.
So it only captures certain data.
I see. So that's the state of the art, probably the most recent, I think. Thanks.
Any further questions? If not, let's thank Shota again for a fun talk.
Okay, thank you.